But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. Please excuse my voice. I've caught a cold that makes me sound like I've smoked a carton of cigarettes in preparation for a Stevie Nicks impression. So we're going to start off this show with the difference between appearing to be a good person and actually being one. Move on to the truth about Springfield, Ohio's pet eating problem, and follow all of that up with the latest in Republican-controlled states' rights to take away yours. Let's begin, shall we? Celebrity is a messy thing because, for some reason, we equate talent with morality. In other words, we tend to think that because someone is good at whatever they're good at, that they must be a good person as well. Now, I don't know where this bullshit came from. I just know that celebrity worship is real, and we should all just stop. For example, this week, Foo Fighters frontman Steve Grohl took to Insta with another confession about someone other than his wife getting the best of him.
Foo Fighters frontman Dave Grohl shared on Instagram that he fathered a new baby outside of his 23-year marriage. And he plans, I know, Dave Grohl. He plans on being a loving and supporting parent. So still while trying to regain the trust of his wife and kids.
Quote, I've recently become the father of a new baby daughter born outside of my marriage. I am doing everything I can to regain their trust and earn their forgiveness. The 55-year-old has pledged to be part of his newborn's life, but the revelation comes as a shock for fans, as Dave's image has always been that of a devoted family man.
So this is really sad news. I really feel bad for his wife and his three daughters. He has three girls, as you mentioned. And I think for Dave Grohl, especially after checking out his book, I think for him being a good person, both being a good person and being perceived as a good person is very important to him.
Yeah, well, being perceived as a good person means absolutely nothing when everyone finds out you're just another dude that cheated on his wife. And while none of this is any of our business, Dave made it a thing to get ahead of his baby mama, who introduced herself to social media just a day before Dave revealed he had another confession to make, probably for the sake of perception. Meanwhile, in Nashville, a celebrity who is actually a good person did something amazing and did not alert the media to it. In fact, the only reason we know about this is because of the local police department posting this video online, thanking this good man for doing such a wonderful thing.
John Bon Jovi is being credited with saving a woman's life in Nashville, Tennessee.
Praised by police after he helped a woman in distress who'd been standing on the ledge of a bridge. In a video released by the Nashville Police Department, the singer can be seen talking to the woman, and once she is back on the walkway of the bridge, he embraces her in a hug.
According to posts on social media, he was shooting a music video on the bridge. He immediately walks over with a crew member, waves and leans on the railing. He calmly talks to the woman for less than a minute before the pair lift her over the railings back onto the bridge walkway. Bon Jovi continues to talk to the stranger before giving her a hug. They then leave the bridge together.
Because that's what a good person does. John Bon Jovi saw this woman about to do something terrible and stopped her, stopped his entire day, just to have a chat with her. Convinced her not to do this terrible thing that she was planning on doing, and then made sure that she got to safety before he left her. Now, I probably shouldn't mention that John Bon Jovi has been married to the same woman since 1989 and has four children with only that woman. Not like we're comparing Dave to John. And his children don't need to perceive that John Bon Jovi is a good person, because they can see that he is, which is why I think it's important to recognize good people, regardless of their talents, and quit idolizing someone just because you like what they do. Because if you have an excuse for your hero's behavior that you have to reveal to others just to justify why you like that person, you probably need a new hero. And while we're on the subject of heroes, being exposed for the douchebags that they are, a recent debate between Kamala Harris and the overbronze gourd in Pennsylvania did not disappoint. Now, there was a lot of shit that went down during the debate in Pennsylvania, so I want to start with one of the most insane things Genghis Khan ever said into a microphone on national television.
What they have done to our country by allowing these millions and millions of people to come into our country, and look at what's happening to the towns all over the United States. And a lot of towns don't want to talk. It's not going to be Aurora or Springfield. A lot of towns don't want to talk about it because they're so embarrassed by it. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country, and it's a shame.
I just want to clarify here. You bring up Springfield, Ohio, and ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there have been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community.
Well, I've seen people on television.
Let me just say here, this is the
people on television say my dog was taken and used for food. So maybe he said that, and maybe that's a good thing to say for a city manager.
I'm not taking this from
but
television.
But the people are on television saying their dog was eaten by the people that went there.
And there you have it, folks. Some of the craziest shit shouted out of that moldy orange. And that is saying a lot, considering Diaper Don thinks Hannibal Lecter is a real person, that immigrants seeking asylum are actually psychiatric patients, and sharks are getting electrocuted by boat batteries. So crazy that current senator from Ohio and one guy who's not going to be the next Veep, but will always be Clown Ligula's number two, J.D. Worthless, doubled down with a CNN anchor during a chat at the debate after party. Roll tape.
Well, first of all, city officials have not said it's not true. They've said they don't have all the evidence.
But they said they have no evidence.
We've heard from a number of constituents on the ground, Caitlin, who both firsthand and secondhand reports saying this stuff is happening.
If someone calls your office and says they saw Bigfoot, that doesn't mean they saw Bigfoot. Why? I mean, you have a sense of responsibility as a running mate, and he certainly does as the candidate, to not promote false information,
but
right?
Caitlin, it's a totally fair point, but nobody's calling my office and saying that they saw Bigfoot. What they're calling and saying is, we're seeing migrants kidnap our dogs and cats, and city officials aren't doing anything about it.
Yeah, but I think you missed the point, Captain Cushions. Your claim is that people are calling you and your office saying that Haitian immigrants are stealing cats and dogs in their neighborhoods just so they can eat them. And no calls? No proof? I would think that the calls that you would be getting, or maybe the Springfield chief of police would be getting, would go a little something like this.
Springfield Police Chief Clancy Wiggum speaking. How can I help you? People are eating dogs? What do you mean, like hot dogs? Oh, cats. Mr. Katz is eating hot dogs. No. People are eating dogs and cats. People are eating dogs and cats in Springfield. Are they good?
Thank you very much, Springfield Chief of Police Clancy Wiggums, otherwise known as Hank Azaria, for taking calls from racist assholes and making fun of the whole situation. Because for fact's sake, the only person eating cats and dogs is a local woman born and raised in Canton, Ohio, a resident with no connection to Haiti, who was arrested last year for chomping down on a dead cat. But since an American Ohioan eating a cat does not fit these maggot racist narratives, we're not mentioning that woman. But I just did, so there you go. Because while eating pets is one thing, folks, apparently ducks and geese are on the menu too, if you want to listen to the Big Lebowski.
There's a place called Springfield, Ohio, that you've been reading about. 20,000 illegal Haitian immigrants have descended upon the town of 58,000 people, destroying their entire way of life. This was a beautiful community, and now it's horrible what's happened. Enrollment on the state's Medicaid and food assistance programs have soared. Motor vehicle accidents have skyrocketed. Recording of 911 calls even show residents are reporting that the migrants are walking off with the town's geese. They're taking the geese. You know where the geese are? In the park, in the lake. And even walking off with their pets. My dog's been taken. My dog's been stolen. This can only happen. These people are the worst.
So, yeah, this racist bullshit about Haitians has escalated quickly. And all because the pastiest residents in Springfield, Ohio, are upset that 20,000 legal migrants from Haiti were relocated to their town. Migrants that they asked for. Yeah, you heard me correct. Legally relocated that the town asked for. For the expressed purpose, migrants are making local business owners extremely happy simply because they don't have meth problems or they can show up to work on time, go their entire shift, and actually do a good job. And this has white residents quite pissed off because in most cases, employers apparently prefer hiring Haitians over lazy white Kevins and Karens who constantly demand to speak to a manager. This led to an increase in complaints about public safety to authorities as local Caspers in Springfield tried to find something to pin on the Haitian community so they could have them then go away. And then last year, one tragic moment involving a Haitian driver and a school bus gave the colonizers of Springfield the ammunition they had been waiting for to spread hate, to force Haitians to be terrified and maybe leave their town.
Last August, it was the very first day of school, and a school bus full of kids was coming down this road. A driver coming in the other direction came around that bend, said he was blinded by the sun. He clipped the bus, and the bus ended up in this ditch.
We begin with breaking news. Right now, multiple law enforcement agencies are on the scene of a deadly school bus crash.
Dozens of children were injured, and 11-year-old Aiden Clark died. When the driver was revealed to be a Haitian immigrant without a U.S. license, things erupted.
The majority of the Haitians here are low-skilled and they're illiterate.
I want to know who's bussing them in, who's responsible for that, and who can stop them from coming.
Yeah, there you go. All the racist lies you would expect from angry white people, which is really just a projection of their own inadequacies. Because only the poorly educated would believe immigrants are eating their neighbor's pets, which is a tell on the mental challenges Mr. Loveseat faces. And that is pretty bad, but the white claw that broke these crackers was the death of Aiden Clark. That's when everything got Sundown Town scary. White people have been complaining to anyone who will listen because local authorities are tired of hearing their whining. So they called the dollar store hillbilly and spread a lie on social media that old man Donald said during his debate with Kamala Harris. And this is all absolutely terrible. But at the heart of it, the heart of the lies, is a manipulative use of a child who was killed in a car accident purely to justify their racism. But hey, don't take my word for it. Here's Aiden Clark's father to set the record straight.
And look what you've done to us. We have to get up here and beg them to stop. Using Aiden as a political tool is, to say the least, reprehensible for any political purpose. And speaking of morally bankrupt, politicians, Bernie Moreno, Chip Roy, J.D. Vance, and Donald Trump, they have spoken my son's name and used his death for political gain. This needs to stop now. They can vomit all the hate they want about illegal immigrants, the border crisis, and even untrue claims about fluffy pets being ravaged and eaten by community members. However, they are not allowed, nor have they ever been allowed, to mention Aiden Clark from Springfield, Ohio.
You heard the man. And to all of you maggots out there, keep Aiden Clark's name out of your mouth. This boy tragically died in a car accident, and it has nothing to do with the racism whites in Springfield are using it for. And let's not forget, since the Lying Orange and his number two started spreading these deplorable rumors that Springfield City Hall and several local elementary schools have received bomb threats. Because if the Fourth Meal Warriors are good for anything, it's domestic terrorism. And then again, children are and always will be pawns for Republicans. And to prove my point, here is what Laura Loomer's new boyfriend had to say about abortion during the debate.
They have abortion in the ninth month. They even have, and you can look at the governor of West Virginia, the previous governor of West Virginia, not the current governor, is doing an excellent job, but the governor before, he said the baby will be born and we will decide what to do with the baby. In other words, we'll execute the baby. And there's no reason to sign a ban because we've gotten what everybody wanted, Democrats, Republicans, and everybody else. And every legal scholar wanted it to be brought back into the states. And the states are voting. And it may take a little time. But for 52 years, this issue has torn our country apart. And they've wanted it back in the states. And I did something that nobody thought was possible. Individual state is voting. It's the vote of the people now. It's not tied up in the federal government. I did a great service in doing it. It took courage to do it. And the Supreme Court had great courage in doing it. And I give tremendous credit to those six justices.
This fucktard, who just threatened to send Springfield's Haitian immigrants back to Venezuela if America is stupid enough to let him back into the White House, just said so many wrong things in such a short amount of time. It is migraine-inducing. First off, the former Democratic governor of West Virginia, Ralph Northam, did not say in any words that women and their doctors are executing newborns. So for the sake of exposition, 5 years ago, then-Governor Northam, who was a pediatric neurologist before entering politics, was on a radio show discussing a hypothetical case where the mother gives birth to a baby that is either non-viable or will die within hours or days. And here is what the governor said.
So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion.
Fuck yeah, it was. And it still is. All this former governor and former baby doctor was describing was a worst-case scenario, which does happen on occasion where a baby is born but will not live. The baby may have hours or perhaps days, which is devastating to the would-be parents who expected and wanted this child. And as Northam explained, hospital staff will keep the child comfortable and the parents stay with their baby until the inevitable happens and the baby dies. No one's executing the baby. This nightmare scenario is horrifying. As a mother, I cannot imagine. And it's bad enough that they have to go through this without a trash panda wearing doofus twisting the truth so it fits his own sociopathic narrative. Secondly, no one but Republicans wanted Roe overturned. Turning over control to the states, because they know that is the way Republican Jesus freaks are going to outlaw abortion through states' rights. Because since the jesters on the Supreme disappointment made their ruling, states with Republican governors and or Republicans in control of the state legislature have outright either banned it altogether or made it impossible for a woman to get one. And just in case you're curious, another reason why Donnie Dunscap wanted abortion back under individual state control is because then governors like Ron DeMantis of the embarrassment known as Florida could do shit like this.
The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, is using the state's election police unit to investigate signatures on an abortion referendum.
The state is using the election police force to question people who signed an abortion petition.
State Representative Anna Eskamani claims that the state is trying to prove signatures may have been gathered fraudulently.
At least two people have come forward to say they were questioned about a petition fraud.
Fort Myers man who says an investigator showed up at his home armed with personal information after he signed a petition in favor of Amendment 4, which guarantees a woman's right to abortion in Florida.
Isaac Minaj told the Tampa Bay Times that he was at a farmer's market last year when someone asked him to sign a petition about a ballot measure that would overturn Florida's 6-week abortion ban. He said sure, and last week, police officers showed up to his home and interrogated him about having signed it.
Anyone that is trying to commit fraud in this process absolutely should be held accountable.
What in the Alanis Morissette irony is this incel loser talking about? Because it's Ron DeBarrisment who is using taxpayer-funded Gestapo police forces to harass Floridians just because they signed a petition to get abortion enshrined into law in the limp dick state. And true to Handmaid's Tale, Ron DeClown thinks that he's just going to scare Floridians to back down and accept that pregnancy is just an obligation of every woman. Because that's what Republicans mean when they say states' rights. They want the state to have the right to intimidate Americans into living under whatever Christian nationalist fever dream they want to bring into reality. And that's it. Other than remodeling America into a Christian ethostate, they've got no plan. No plan on infrastructure. No plan on lowering the cost of living in America. No plan on healthcare.
Obamacare was lousy health care. If we come up with something, and we are working on things, we're going to do it and we're going to replace it. And what we will do is we're looking at different plans. If we can come up with a plan that's going to cost our people, our population, less money and be better health care than Obamacare, then I would absolutely do it. But until then, I'd run it as good as it can be run.
So just a yes or no, you still do not have a plan?
I have concepts of a plan.
You know, it sounds to me like low IQ Don got caught bullshitting and couldn't think of anything to say. Or maybe the orange douche forgot that he was on a debate stage and not Quill from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, because I don't know about you, but when he had that exchange with the debate monitor, this is all I heard.
I have a plan.
You've got a plan.
Yes.
I don't even believe you have a plan.
I have part of a plan.
What percentage?
I don't know. 12%.
12%? That is not a plan.
It's barely a concept.
You said it, Gamora. And that is all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sunday, 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can listen to this show on Crowtown Radio. And you can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. We are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show and to Der for now.